couple of minutes in which to make you happy. We got Mo from Alchemy in the house. Mo has brought with him a range of, well, it looks very exciting, but I'm not even going to begin to describe what is in front of me here. All I can say is it's bottles and glasses and mixers and flamethrowers. Welcome to the studio. Welcome to the afternoon show on 88 FM.
Thanks, Dave.
So tell us, what are we going to be doing today?
We're going to have a little wine pairing, you're going to taste the wine, and then I'm going to suggest a pairing. And that's part and parcel of what we do at Alchemy, is trying to elevate the simple act of fermented juices, grape juices, into a beautiful experience that can occur or not occur if you're not willing to eat. Otherwise, we just serve amazing wine as well, and beers and spirits. And my colleague is here to mix you up one of the signature drinks that we make at Alchemy Bar, in an effort not just to get you drunk, but to elevate your status.
Well, now you talk about wine pairing, and it's an interesting concept, because a lot of folk don't fully appreciate that wine is an extraordinary beverage in that it changes its complexity depending on the tastes and flavors that your tongue is going through. Does that say that it makes no sense at all? Your tongue isn't going through anything. You've got a flavor compound, a flavor profile, a taste profile that is created by a particular dish. And then you hit a particular wine that before the dish tasted one way, and then suddenly it changes. Now, that change can be extraordinarily gorgeous or extraordinarily horrible, depending entirely on, I suppose, you. So what is the essence of pairing?
So it has very little to do with the tongue, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you have certain chemical receptors that are on your tongue, but the majority of where you're tasting is in the palate, on top of your tongue, in the top of your mouth. And what a wine will do is, with the alcohol, with the tannin, with the acidity that comes out of those grapes, will affect how your taste receptors behave.
So that the palate, therefore, is partly an olfactory deal from the nose, the exactly nasal cavity, and the receptors on the tongue, you say, have got very little to do with the actual taste.
They're very different to each individual. Some people have a majority of receptors on their tongue. Most people will experience it within the palate, and the tongue, as you say, the olfactory sense, builds up your mind's ability to understand what flavors,
You've just made sense of the palate cleanser. I always thought the palate cleanser was something that, you know, fixed your tongue, got it right. Because, you know, when you drink a whiskey, when you taste a whiskey, apparently what you do is you almost sensitize the tongue and, I suppose, the entire palate. It burns, it stings maybe for a while, and then it settles, and then it's in the right frame, the right kind of atmosphere, if you like, to experience the joy. Or the horror, whichever. Generally, depends. I think it's a great joy. So the palate, a very important thing, and I suppose that's what sommeliers spend years perfecting, is that very, very sensitive ability to determine the notes. And as we talk about these things in wine, well, I wish we had longer, because I often think that it's absolute nonsense. Someone comes along and tells me about your ooh, can you taste the green grass or the winter berries or the heaven knows what, the mushrooms or the I don't know, chocolate flavors. Where from do you get chocolate in a wine?
Well, that would probably be an oak tannin that is responsible for the chocolate effect.
I've never tasted a chocolate in a red wine. It's always red wine to me. There's no chocolate. You want a chocolate, I'll eat a chocolate.
Well, exactly that. And the thing is that most people will not be able to pick it up because they're not trained to.
But is it not like the emperor's new clothes? You know, someone tells you, ooh, yes, I can suddenly gooseberries and chili peppers and chocolates and things. Is it not the suggestion, auto-suggestion, and then suddenly here it comes?
Absolutely, auto-suggestion is the thing. And that's why when we do our tastings, we do not suggest what flavors or components you're going to pick up in the wine. We actually just give you the wine and the food, and we say, make your own decision. And then thereafter, we might talk about the different flavors that we personally will pick up. For instance, I've just come from a wine tasting from Creation Wines in the Hemelin Otter, and in their Art of Creation Pinot Noir, I tasted it and I got a floral element in the palate as opposed to on the nose. I tasted lavender, those beautiful lavender pastilles.
You tasted lavender in a glass of wine.
In a glass of red wine.
All right.
And it was a revelation. I've had this wine in several different vintages, and this year, I don't know, JC Martin has done something incredibly unusual, different. Maybe it's just down to the actual year of vintage, and that's why wine is such a facile and different substance.
So if you're open to the experience, and I think therein lies the rub, you can just drink it because it tastes nice and you want the buzz, but if you're open to learning more and you're keen to find out a little bit more about what you should be looking for and experiencing in a different in the different bottles of wine that are available to you, Alchemy is a very, very fine place to start, I would imagine. So, talking of which, you have now just poured a little glass of... this is not a pink drink, or is it just the...
It's slightly colored.
So, this would this be a rosé? No.
It is primarily Pinot Noir, and underneath it is Chardonnay, so we call it the Clément de Lure from Stellenrust in Stellenbosch. And here... It is a Cap Classique. We used to call things like this a method Cap Classique, but now we've dropped the method because it is of the Cape and it is a classical styling. So,
it's sparkling.
It's a champagne style. So the bubbles are created by carbonation from the fermentation within the bottle.
You're not injecting anything into it?
No, there's no forced carbonation. It's not like a Prosecco or a Sect or a Cava. And that means that it is true and honest to its place of origin.
Wow.
Salut.
You're very good health. You hear the glasses clinking. It smells gorgeous. It
smells like Ribena.
I tell you something, it tastes absolutely super. But if you had to ask me what flavor, what I was experiencing there in terms of notes and profiles and things, I would just say it's a good wine.
Thank you. And this is one of our house pours by the glass and or by the bottle. And we find that people actually appreciate it by itself as opposed to drinking it alongside any of our snacks or small plates.
So this you don't need to pair with anything?
You don't necessarily. Bubbles, as Napoleon once said, are required in defeat and are necessary in victory. So... that means 24 hours a day.
So you celebrate life with bubbles.
7 days a week.
The bitter and the sweet. It just makes it better.
Absolutely.
I'll have another sip to that.
Please do.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Okay. That is really super. What is it called?
This is the Stellenrust, Clément de Lure.
Okay. Stellenrust. Remember the name, folks? I've never heard of that. Is it a particular...
It's a fairly big batch industrial, but they do make exceptional wine. And our house pourer by the glass is their Stellenrust Chenin Blanc, which is a spumante style. So made like a Prosecco, they pour it into big vats and then they force carbonate. And that's why the price point is a lot lower than this wine in front of us.
So is that what we're going to hit next?
No, we're going to hit one of the exclusive offerings at Alchemy because we are the sole distributor of Vinmule in KwaZulu-Natal, which is a...
I love the accent.
I bought on eBay.
No South African will know what you're talking about. That's Vintmeal.
Yeah, thank you.
Vintmeal. Yeah. This most source of windpomp, modest near pomp need is a meal. It's a wind... Okay, there we go. Rock and roll.
You're speaking to two internationals, so I don't know what you just said. But in front of you now is a Sauvignon Blanc, which is one of the lighter characters of South African winemaking. It is one of the cash cows also in South African viticulture. Well produced and exceptional in terms of its clarity, its ease of drinking, and something that will please the palate regardless, again, of food or not.
I tell you what, I've just had a sip, and generally speaking, I find a white wine can be quite sharp. It can be quite astringent, but this is smooth like silk, and I don't know why. Why is it so smooth?
Well, number one, it's not made in character to traditional cold climate Sauvignon Blanc. This is generally a warmer climate, so the ripeness level of the fruit obviates against the acidity, and now you have something which is a bit further reaching in your palate. It kind of lingers a bit on the tongue, and for me, it's a bit of tinned asparagus, a little bit of green pea.
Here we go.
Yeah, and
the green peas and the tinned asparagus and the grass and the flowers and the birds.
Oh,
none of that, mate. Well, I'm sure it's there if you're very, very posh. But for me, this is just a flipping good wine.
Thank you.
And I'm sure that the experts among us will be cringing right now at my lack of etiquette and finesse. But I'm telling you right now, I like what I like. And this is awesome. Windmill Sauvignon Blanc. So far we've been through a Stellenrust, which has got a very, very fancy French title underneath it that I can't read from here. And then the Windmill, that I would recommend to anyone that likes white wine. Up next is a red, but I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to just, the news reader was in for a second and she's hiding away. Nogwanda Dima, it is time for the news, but I tell you what, there's no news today. They're going to have only good news. We're drinking wine. Okay. Here we go. So this is a red now. It's a Pinotage. South Africans know Pinotage because it is a kind of South African, proudly South African red varietal. What is special about it?
So, as you said, Pinotage was crossed between Pinot Noir and Cinzo in the 1920s by Abraham Isaac Perrault, and since then has had a long-lived lifespan. It's also something that is innately of Paul. Paul, Stellenbosch, the Swartland, and warmer climate areas are generally known for the production of Pinotage because we want that phenolic ripening to happen.
And there are those that say that you shouldn't really just drink red wine as a quaffable around the fireplace or around the braai or whatever. You should always, you know, have it with something. I don't know if that's true or not. I'm going to just see whether it's good without anything.
I think this one is fine by itself.
It doesn't give you the kind of sandpaper tongue effect, and yet it's dry.
Yeah, absolutely. As good red wine should be, the semi-sweet or off-dry effects from red wines are generally addition of sugar after fermentation, and those are made for a specific demographic.
Okay, so the posher you are, the drier you drink.
In theory.
Okay, yeah. I like that. I remember a friend of mine, a very, very eminent attorney, it was a friend of mine's father, had a little farm in Natal. And there were kind of very simple folk living next door who were invited around for dinner one night because they had been so kind to these folk as they moved down from Joburg and set up a bit of a holiday place. And he produced a very, very, very expensive Pinotage for these very simple farming folk. And they took a sip of this lot and they said to him, said the old fella, "You know, Mr. Rattray, this wine is very bitter. Haven't you got a Hanepoort?" So, yeah, there we go.
And it is. It's about your conditioning. Like, wine is a culture. Wine is something that you don't literally get up in the morning and say, I love expensive Pinot Noir from Burgundy, or I love exceptional New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. You will have to train your palate towards it. And it's something that takes time, takes perseverance.
Well, I can tell you something. All three of those that you have produced today are, in my humble opinion, there is not a soul on the planet that wouldn't find joy in these wines. And you can sample them all at the Alchemy Wine Bar. It's bigger than that. It's now a little restaurant. Huh? You do more than just... It used to be a kind of gin bar. Then it became a gin and wine and champagne. Yeah. And then it expanded into food as well. Sure. And cocktails. Extraordinary. That's what we're going to do now. Because your mixologist is very, very patiently waiting. And it's like long suffering. We're going to play a tune. It's got nothing to do with wine, but it is an alcoholic beverage that we're singing about. It's a Roan Ash tune called Whiskey to My Soul, and on the other side of that, we're going to get into the cocktails. Well, and in fact, well, we're not drinking whiskey right now, but we are going to be doing a James Bond tribute. It's as Mo and his very eminent mixologist, who shall remain anonymous, a bit like the Stig, for various reasons we're not going to go into, but let me just tell you this. What we're mixing up here in the studio right now looks like a science experiment. It's a kind of Bond-type martini, a mix of vermouth and gin, small batch gin manufactured on the premises at Alchemy, and a little bit of grapefruit juice just to give it that special zing. It's all shaken, not stirred, as you could hear in the background, no doubt. A clattering of ice cubes rolling around in a shaker. The various different elements going in. And once more, the shaker gets a shake. You can hear that. There's no escaping that noise. It's, even with the generator going in the background, we're still firing away on gin and vermouth and grapefruit juice. Together creates a kind of fantasy in a glass. I think that Mr. Bond would approve. I'm not sure. But looking at it from here, it certainly looks good. There's a finishing touch. I wish this was television, because there's now a naked flame being added and a spritz of zest of orange. Is that? No, that would be grapefruit zest.
That would be the grapefruit.
Yeah. You see, it arrives in a typical martini glass. It looks somewhat cloudy. It smells beautifully citrusy, and it tastes... Wow. Like mothballs. It has a very interesting... It has a... Again, you obviously don't go for anything too sweet. This is a very sophisticated drink.
Well, that's not necessarily the truth.
You do make sweet cocktails.
We do indeed, yeah. But Dave, what we're trying to highlight here is that Ginsala is made by a little 100-liter still in the back of Alchemy. We call ourselves Blackstrap Distillery, on top of being Alchemy, Alchemy Kitchen, and the other room. So there are four businesses beneath one roof.
So this is literally created on the premises in a very small batch with attention to detail. It has a very distinctive profile. It has a very distinctive taste. You know, sometimes, I suppose, spirits can be simply denatured alcohol with a bit of flavoring, and there it is. You know, good for you. But this is different.
For sure. And what we've done is we're trying to highlight the fact that we are uniquely KZN. So we've taken a sugarcane spirit, we've refined it, and we've flavored it with... Traditionally, juniper is always in gin, and you have to have juniper in gin in order to call it the room. Coriander seed, angelica, as well as some citrus peel.
So it has a bit of the masala that gives it...
And that is where the name comes from. So we have a guy in Durban who actually makes our masala blend. And, you know, this is the second biggest Indian population outside of the subcontinent. So Ginsala highlights the fact of it and shows off the terroir.
Yeah, but isn't it, folks, it doesn't taste like curry. Nothing wrong with curry, but you don't want a curry flavored gin, I think, possibly not. But this gives you it's the notes in the herbs and spices that just literally takes it to another level that is unique, and that's what you're looking for. The experience has got to be special.
For sure.
And this is very special. It would make it an absolutely perfect gift for anyone that was living away from the province that wanted to take a little bit of sunshine with them or give a little sunshine to a friend. Is it available as a kind of gift?
Absolutely. We have not only gift boxes available with mixers and some botanical and some glass straws, because underneath the Alchemy brand is the question of sustainability. So we want to make sure that people understand our interaction with our environment is very important, and that we have taken a lot of pain and effort to make sure that our cocktail serves. In fact, our entire business ethos is devoted to making sure that we will be able to hand over the planet to our children and our children's children.
I like that. I think it's all of us have now a responsibility to start living our lives that way. And there's no, of course, it's nothing wrong with having fun, but having fun responsibly. And this is it at Alchemy. And I've got to thank you, Mo, and... mixologist who will remain anonymous because for obvious reasons, well, no, not so obvious, but we're just we'll say thanks and if you would like to experience what I have in a very, very short moment, been through this afternoon. When I say been through, I mean in the nicest possible way and in the shortest possible amount of time. You can linger over the glasses that are available to you at Alchemy. Three wines that we tasted, the Vintmeel range, and then the, let's just look at it, it was the Stellenrist with a very French...
the Clément de Lure.
There you go. Exactly that. It's a kind of champagne. Well, it's a method cup classique. It's like made like champagne, in other words. Exactly. No artificial sulfurs injected into that with bubbles. That's the real McCoy. Then there was the Vintmeel Pinotage and the Vintmeel Sauvignon Blanc. Just three gorgeous wines. And then for the cocktail lover, we got into... what do you call this one?
We call it the Sunset Martini.
Aha. And the perfect way to end a day. It has the flavors of Natal. Well, certainly the flavors of Natal via the Alchemy Magic, with a little gin that tastes like gin sala. You call it gin sala. It's a great word for it. It tastes like I don't know, a bouquet, a sort of bouquet garni. It's beautiful.
And Dave, just on the back of that, we do have some rum in production.
Yo. Yeah, now so we're speaking. Now this is dangerous conversation, guys. Exactly. We're going to have to get you back.
Yeah.
Will you come back again in a week's time? Well, I'll have recovered in a week's time.
We'll talk about our rum.
I look forward to that. That's Mo from Alchemy, folks. And you know where that is? At Eat Street and the Lifestyle Center. That's where everyone loves to meet. And tonight, well, it's Wednesday. Why not? With the long load shed, you need to take a load off and enjoy life the Bolito way. Beautiful. Conversation, beautiful drinks, beautiful atmosphere. That's what Eat Street is all about, and Alchemy specializes in good times. So thanks again, guys, and we look forward to reconnecting in a week's time.